The thing you are so scared of is going to change your life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Greetings, beloved ones, and welcome back to another episode of Central Faith Podcast, the podcast all about the art of coming home to your body and some other things. I am your host, LaVon Briggs, and I am your co-facilitator, your guide, as we reintegrate our spirituality, sensuality, and sexuality and live life to the motherfucking fullest, y'all. I am turnt, okay? I am recording the very last episode of this podcast as a 40-year-old. My birthday is on Monday, August 7th. So at the time of this release, I will be a fresh 41, but I'm going to be in my Oshun year. And y'all, I am just so excited and thrilled about what is to come in this year. This year that just passed when I was 40 taught me that you can prepare, you can acquire, you can think you know all the things, but honey, baby, nothing is going to be living but living. Okay. All the degrees, all the prayers, all the altar work, the root work, the candle work, the meditating, the Bible reading, the scripture quoting, the sacred text prose spouting, the community, the journaling, the visualizing, the timeline jumping. Okay, I don't care what your spiritual practice is, honey. The reason why we have a spiritual practice is so that we can shore up a wealth and a depth and a breadth of security and groundedness and love and peace and joy and care. So when the storms come, because they will come, you got something to hold on to. And you got something to remember, to literally recall, and something to remember, to re-member, to put yourself back together again. Because when they leave, when the project is over, when the contract expires, when the desk is empty, when they walk out of your life, when you close the door, what's left but you? But the beautiful thing is that you yourself are not alone. Because when you are with yourself, you are with God. You are with your ancestors. You are with your community. You are with your shiniest self. And so that's the hope. That's the thing that you hold on to so that you don't slip into despair. That's what 40 taught me. So if that's what 40 taught me, child, then what's my Oshun year going to teach me? Well, I guess 41 isn't my Oshun year. I guess my Oshun year would be like a 5 year, like 55. Ooh. It's 14 years from now. Where will I be 14 years from now? What a thought. Anyway, where will I be 14 days from now? Questions that need answers. Y'all, I'm so thrilled to be chatting with y'all about today's topic, about facing your fear, because it's something that I have done recently. So y'all know I'm never inviting you to do anything that I haven't done myself. And it's not the arachnophobia, is not the, what's the word when you don't like texture? I've met several people who like live their life in such a way where if they see certain flowers or plants, they are like, oh my God, it's grossing me out. Get that away from me. It's called trypophobia. Don't Google it, child, because immediately, why would they do that to us? Do you see how society is set up for us to lose? If I am looking up a word about how I have a fear of texture, why would Google Images immediately have two photos of textured things that would freak me out? And I don't even, I think I'm like adjacent to that phobia, but for somebody who's like really deathly afraid of it, that would not end well. So we praise God that we're here, and we praise God that you're here, especially those of you who are part of Central Faith Academy, aka my Patreon, where we are co-creating community and exploring all of the themes that I talk about on the podcast, but in deeper ongoing community. And we have some new community members that I want to welcome. So Akasua, thank you so much for being a community member. Lori Hasty, welcome. And you pledged at a year, you put a ring on it, and we love to see it. J.O. Brown, welcome. So glad that you're here. Y'all, come on over to Central Faith Academy. We have two tiers, okay? The first tier is Sensual Faith. That's $10 a month. That's going to get you access to the supplemental materials and all the things that you need to take a deep dive into each of the episodes. And then there's the Lavish Love tier, which gets you everything that's in the Sensual Faith tier, plus bonus access to things like live book studies with me. Right now, we're working through my first book, Sensual Faith, The Art of Coming Home to Your Body. In addition to the live access, you'll have access to the replay. You'll also have access to replays of new and full moon readings that I do on Instagram Live for my Instagram subscribers. So if you want to join live there, be sure to tap in on Instagram. Audio essays. I actually just released one. It's called Why I Fucked My Ex. And it was a long time coming. It took me some months to get it out and to really synthesize it and put it onto like a voice note, but it's actually really juicy. So if those kinds of tidbits, the inner workings of my mind, my experience, how I acquire my wisdom by living and learning and discerning and synthesizing and alchemizing and sharing my sacred wisdom with the world, that sounds like something you like to partake in, the Lavish Love tier is for you. So head on over to patreon.com/LaVonBriggs and join the tier that's right for you. Now, if you follow me on Instagram, then you may have seen my very first monthly dump. I be seeing all of my favorite content creators doing these monthly dumps on their social media. It's basically you go through and you select up to 10 images and or videos of these moments that you believe encapsulate the best and maybe not the best, right? But what you feel really captures the essence of your month. So I did my very first month dump for the month of July. And in it, I included a poem by the poet Alex Aubrey. Now, Alex Aubrey has a book called Learning to Love Myself. And in it, there's a poem, very short, but very potent. And it's our sacred text for today. And it says, "The thing you are so scared of is going to change your life." Y'all, when I read that, I thought immediately of the biggest project that I have been really procrastinating around. The thing that I have been kind of twiddling my thumbs about is writing my first screenplay. I am a screenwriter. Now, you can't see me, listeners, but my Lavish Love patrons, if you're watching the raw video of me recording this podcast episode, then you saw my smile and my blank stare and my blink blink, because I'm still getting comfortable saying that. I can say I'm an author, I'm a speaker, I'm a creator, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, because I have been those things. And not only that, I have been known for those things and lauded for those things. So there has been an affirmation from the community and from society at large that yes, LaVon does those things. When LaVon shows up, she's going to speak a word. She's going to preach. She's going to channel. She's going to read tarot. She's right. No one can point to anything and say, oh, this is the film that LaVon made. Although quiet as is kept, fun fact about me, when I was in high school, I wanted to be a music video director. So I'm about to be 41. So that's how old I am. So when I was in high school, Hype Williams was like the music video director who was like top tier, giving us, you know, short action films for like Biggie and Missy, right? And so I was going to be Chocolate Deluxe. Chocolate D for short, even though it's not that much shorter. It's literally just one syllable less. But my friends and I would be sitting there in someone's dorm room, because another fun fact, I went to boarding school. I don't know if you know that about me, but I did. And so we would be listening to, like, let's say Destiny's Child album, The Writing's on the Wall. And a song would come on and I would immediately be like, oh, yo, you know, it'd be so hot for this. You know, it'd be so fire. Like, I can see this music video in my head, right? And they'd be like, LaVon, please, we're just trying to listen to the music. But I saw the visuals for the album. Beyonce, Giselle Knowles Carter. Where are the visuals, sis? She said, you are the visuals. I love that for us. Anywho, I'm still ruminating on my Amsterdam Renaissance tour podcast episode. So thank you for your grace. But fast forward to my senior year in high school, and I took this class called film study, and my instructor had us watching all of these films that, you know, according to the very westernized, colonized American Film Institute, are like the top 100 films. So one of the films that we saw was by Spike Lee, of course. And so I had never seen a Spike Lee joint before I took that course in high school. And so once I encountered his work, I was like, oh, I'll be the female Spike Lee. And Spike Lee, of course, went to NYU, New York University. So I applied to NYU's Tisch School of the Arts, which is the top film school on the East Coast, maybe in the world. Like, they're always going head to head with USC, the University of Southern California, for having the top film program and the top film graduates and all that jazz. So in order to complete my application to NYU, I had to submit a sample of my creative work. So you know what I did? I outlined a short film. It was about this high school senior who is in a relationship for the first time. It was called A Seed to Sow. Oh my God. And she is a virgin at the start of her relationship. She decides that she loves this boy. She wants to have sex with him. They have sex. He pulls out a condom. She says, no, no, I love you. They have sex. The first time she has sex, she gets pregnant. So she has the baby. She has to drop out of school. And we leave off like with her and her friends around the newborn, right? I don't know how to edit no film. I don't know no software. I went to the library. I rented a camcorder. Yes, a camcorder that you used to have at the family cookouts and reunions. And I filmed the movie in sequence. We literally went from the first scene to the last scene, bit by bit, filming in my dorm room, doing all the things. And that was what I submitted. And that's what got me into one of the most prestigious film programs in the entire world. I get to NYU, I hate it. I love screenwriting, my English classes, character development. I hate the technical part. And so I ended up dropping out. And years later, after pursuing modeling and traveling for a bit, working in the service industry, hospitality and stuff, I end up at Seton Hall University, where I'm an English honors major. I end up in entertainment and film and television production. I realize that there's a calling on my life. I go to Yale Divinity School. I come out, I start teaching, I end up pastoring, and then I leave the church, like parish ministry, and I start consulting. And then I start the Proverbial Experience, and then I start spiritual life coaching, and then I become a full-time creator. And all of that has led me to this moment where I start an Instagram church and one of my church members creates these beautiful bath products. And here I am curating a lavish life and she sends me these amazing products and they're delectable. Shout out to Maydell Essentials. And the creator of those great bath products, her name is Tanzania Huey. Now, we become mutuals on social media because I include some of her products in the influencer boxes for my first book, Sensual Faith. I'm looking at her bio and I happen to see that she is a screenwriting coach. So I DM her like, hey, I want to write my first screenplay. I see that you're a screenwriting coach. Can you help? And do you know what her response was? Yes, let's go. Exclamation points. When I tell you that once she told me to book a call that I invested in, praise the Lord, because there's a difference with people. I've noticed that people who invest money, time, resources into something, they will take it more seriously than people who are comped something. Not always. It's not a blanket statement. I'm just saying in my experience. And so for me to say, you know what? I am going to look at her calendar. And I'm not going to wait weeks, months. I've been putting this off long enough. I booked a call for the very next day. And we sat down and she answered my questions and she gave me structure. And now I have a concrete plan for writing my first screenplay. Y'all, this is not something that is completely foreign to me. The fact that I am circling back to something that excited me over 20 years ago means that that thing was in me the entire time. It's just that when it comes to the manifestation and the fulfillment of your dreams, it doesn't always happen in a linear fashion. And that's why I'm holding so tightly to today's sacred text that the thing you are so scared of is going to change your life, because the thing that you are scared of isn't even necessarily your own fear. It could be fear of success, yes. It could be fear of failure. But honestly, truly, I think fear is an illusion because we're putting more energy into fearing the thing than into the thing, right? Think about the way fear has been used as a tool to control and to suppress for generations, for centuries. I'm not just talking about our ancestors who were enslaved. I'm talking about you growing up in the church, growing up in an immigrant household, growing up in a patriarchal, misogynistic, misogynorous, homophobic, transphobic society. What fears were instilled in you at a young age that threw you off course? Because in African cosmology, we believe that you come here knowing what your purpose is, who you are, what you're called to do, what you're going to go through in order to have your character shaped in the way that it needs to be shaped so that you can fulfill your destiny, fulfill your purpose on earth. And so we have to be very real about the baggage we have inherited and be honest with ourselves about, do we really fear that thing? Or were we conditioned to fear the thing? Perfect example, hell. I don't fear hell because hell isn't real. Now, when I was a young adult in the Pentecostal church, I was doing everything I could to avoid hell. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't have sex. I'm holy. I don't cuss. I was so robotic in my faith that I wasn't even being human, all because I didn't want to land in this imaginary, eternal furnace where I was going to go if I didn't live, quote unquote, right. And so once I released the idea of hell, now I no longer fear hell. Now, how do I want to live my faith? Now, how do I want to have a relationship with God? Now, how do I want to show up in the world knowing that at every turn, I'm not avoiding the incinerator, which is the actual word that Jesus was referring to when he was talking about fire. It wasn't hell. It was an actual incinerator, right? So shout out to the Church of England in the mid 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, around there for conjuring, creating this idea of hell to control people. And so for some of you, that's the first time you're hearing that. So I want to honor that your faith is very sacred and tender, but also, and there's a lot that the church misled you to believe about your body. I wrote a whole book about your body, right? How we were taught to fear our bodies and fear our sexuality, to fear our urges that are divinely designed and God-given. I was taught to fear yoga. I remember the first time I practiced yoga, I was a graduate student at Yale Divinity School. And when I finished, I felt so grounded and safe and secure and sexy and powerful. And I was like, oh, this is what they don't want. They don't want me to have agency and autonomy in my body. They don't want me to feel fierce and strong and courageous. Because if I do feel those things, they can't control me. And an uncontrollable Black woman, that's hell for some people. That's hell for oppressors. And so I'm so grateful that I opened myself up to learning more about who I am and where I come from and my heritage and the things that I was taught, because that conditioned fear was causing me to live a lackluster life. And if you want to not just live, but you want to live and have a story, if you want to thrive, you got to face your fear. You got to face your fear. The fact of the matter is that what you desire is not bad. You have desire in you for a reason. And as long as that desire is healthy and ethical and aligned and you're not hurting anybody, baby, you get to pursue that desire. So if you want to face your fear, the first thing that you're going to have to do is decolonize your desire. Liberate your desire. Desire has been not just conflated, but deflated to be and to mean something sexual. Desire can be sexual, but it's so much more than sexual. Desire could be, I'm drinking my water out of a wine glass. Desire could mean I'm drinking my poinsettia out of my ancestor's baby mug, which I'm doing right now. For the uninitiated, a poinsettia is a mimosa with cranberry juice instead of orange juice. Desire could be buying myself fresh flowers once a week, luxuriating in a warm, soapy, silky bath. Desire doesn't have to have anything to do with your loins. Desire could be wanting to pivot into tech, wanting to start your own business, wanting to finally launch the Patreon, right? But if you were taught that you're supposed to crucify your desires and you're only supposed to want what God wants for you and serve God, serve the church, serve your family, serve society, where are you in any of that? Why would you have the desire if it wasn't supposed to bring you joy and pleasure, which again can be sexual, but is not only sexual? So once you decolonize your desire, the next thing you need to do is, okay, well, that fear isn't mine. What fear is? And honor that fear. I believe that fear is an illusion, but maybe you don't. I want to honor whatever it is that we're calling fear, that emotion, that feeling, that angst, that dread, that hole in your gut, that, you know, increase in your pulse, that tightness in your chest. All of that is manifesting in your body. We call it fear, but it could be something else. I want you to honor that feeling. Honor that fear. If you're feeling fearful, don't gaslight yourself and pretend that you're not. You know, we all want to use our affirmations. I am powerful. I am fearless. I am strong. Yeah, all that is true. Yes. And two truths can be true at the same time. You can want to take the next step and be fearful of it. But you got to honor, what are you actually fearing? Are you fearing the thing, or are you fearing what's on the other side of the thing? Come on, somebody. Because maybe the fear isn't in implementing the boundary. Maybe the fear is who's going to reject you and leave you and turn their backs on you once you implement the boundary. Mm-hmm. Maybe the fear isn't the truth telling and the storytelling and the gifts that you bring to the world. Maybe it's who you're no longer protecting once you start telling the truth. My God. Honor your fear, but honor where the fear is coming from and where you're placing the fear. Because the fact of the matter is, if you implement a boundary and people turn their backs on you, they're simply making space for the people who can love you and love you well and honor your boundaries at the same fucking time. If you're worried about who is going to shame you or talk about you for speaking the truth, well, in the words of Anne Lamott, they should have been better behaved. So honor what you're feeling, but put it, locate it where it actually belongs. Put the onus where it belongs. The onus is not on the fear. The onus is in the response to the thing that you are fearful of doing. So after you decolonize your desire, after you honor your fear, the third thing you can do to face your fear is to take one inspired step. Just one. It can be small, it can be large. For me, it was booking a call with a screenwriting coach so I could get concrete tools and affirmation, because that's really what we spent 35% of the call doing, was Tanzania telling me, you can do this. It's in you. Honestly, the last third of our call was her telling me things that I tell my coaching clients. Make sure you're rested. Make sure you're nourished. Get out in nature. Make sure you're talking to your ancestors. You are a channel. I was like, hold on. This sounds very familiar. It's the alignment for me, baby. Because at the end of the day, everything that we need is already within the collective. And so if it took for me to book a call with a screenwriting coach for me to hear the thing that I tell others so often, just so I could receive it, so it could sink into my mind, my body, my spirit, my being, then so be it. God knew that's what I needed. Spirit knows what you need, beloved. And so what is the one step you can take? Maybe it's reaching out to a coach to help you write the book. Maybe it's sitting down at the keyboard. Maybe it's going for a walk by the river so that you can let the lyrics just, you know, bubble up from your soul. Maybe it's not even recording the first podcast episode, but just ordering the microphone. Maybe it's downloading the app. Maybe it's sending the email. Maybe it's sliding in the DMs. Maybe it's practicing going live by yourself. And if you really about that life, just go live and let that be the practice. But taking one inspired step will do so much for you. It will give you a confidence boost because you'll know, well, if I can take this step, then I can take the next one. And when in doubt, ask for fucking help. For some of you, you fear asking for help because people have rejected you in the past. People have thrown it in your face in the past. Discern and go, honey. And if they throw it in your face, only allow them to do that shit once. But you are worthy of help. You are worthy of being nourished and supported. Asking for help doesn't mean that you're weak. Asking for help means that you're worthy of support. I say that in my book, Sensual Faith, at 4:44 p.m. Central Standard Time on Friday, August 4th, as I'm recording this podcast. The thing you are so scared of is going to change your life. So when we are turning up at the Oscar after party because your girl done won an Oscar for her award-winning, Academy Award-winning film, remember episode 38 of Sensual Faith Podcast. Because it's not just my dreams that are coming into fruition. It's all of our dreams. And so I want to encourage you to face your fear this week. What's one way that you're going to face your fear? Let me know on social media. Use the hashtag SensualFaithPod. Let me know on Twitter/X. I don't know. I saw somebody say, Twitter is what your mama named you. I'm calling you Twitter. Let me know on Instagram. Shoot, let me know on TikTok. What's one thing that you're doing this week to face your fear? Because I'm telling you, everything that you want and desire is on the other side of facing your fear. Well, that's it for this episode of Sensual Faith Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am so grateful for your presence. Thank you for being a part of this community. Don't forget to head on over to patreon.com/LaVonBriggs and sign up for the tier that's right for you. And if you are not ready to put a ring on it, okay, and you want to give a one-time love offering, engage in the flow of abundance and energy exchange, you can absolutely send some loving on Cash App, $PastorBae, PASTORBAE, Venmo at LaVon Briggs, PayPal and Zelle are LaVon.Briggs@gmail.com. I am accepting birthday gifts all month long, okay? So go ahead and slide me something as I come into my 41st year of life. I am so grateful to be alive and to be sharing my sacred gifts and wisdom with the world. Thank you for being a part of my journey. I love y'all so much. It's another year of life. Hey, turn up. Y'all go in peace, go in power, go in pleasure. Be well, beloved ones. And if it's not well, it's not the end. And remember, faith should feel good. Now go face that fear, y'all. Peace.